This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and that's my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this week, we are continuing on our second to last of our female-led action movies. This time, we're going with a trio of ladies, not just one. We're doing a little bit of 2019's Charlie's Angels. Turns out, it's kind of a sequel, kind of a reboot to the other, all the other franchises. It factors in the show. It factors in the Cameron Diaz movies. So we're going to be doing a little bit of that movie. Before we do, Alex, have you seen this? When was the last time?
So I didn't go see this in the theater because I predicted it was going to flop, and it kind of did in the theater. But I purchased this on digital. So I watched it digital and I remember enjoying it. I said, wow, this is actually pretty decent. It was pretty good. That was a while ago. That was 2019 ago. So on the rewatch, I decided to purchase it. It was like, I think $5. I brought it on 4K. So I said, all right, let me watch his physical media and see, does it still hold up from 2019? So I can't wait to sit down and talk about it.
Okay. I saw this at the theater with a friend of mine because this was in the heyday of my, you know, my former podcast. So we used to review all the new releases. So I saw this at the theater opening week, reviewed it on my show. Remember not being crazy about it. And then I got it on digital for free because Regal was doing a promotion at the time. If you see these four Sony movies in the theater, you get digital copies for all of them. So I had a free digital code. I got it on my Vudu. I have not watched this since 2019. So it's been like 3 years since I've seen it. Have things changed? I don't know, but let's go over some Rotten Tomatoes scores. Alex, you're not going to believe this. This is the second movie in a row where there's a pretty large gap between the critics and the audiences.
Oh boy.
Really what weird. This has a 52% critic score, but this is what's shocking. The audience score is 78%. Now, I don't remember walking out the theater and hearing a bunch of people saying, wow, that was great. And I also don't know anyone who talks about this movie, but apparently a lot of audience people, members, enjoyed it. It's got a 78%.
I have a theory on this.
Okay, let's hear it.
Here's my Alec theory. This is because I have a thing here. When it has to do with female-led movies, or has some type of controversy around it, you can't talk bad about the movie. Remember, the Ghostbusters of 2016 was a thing. Everyone, again, we're not slamming the Ghostbusters, the female Ghostbusters. Had nothing to do with it. What I'm saying is the movie is not as strong when you watch it. But when you look at the Rotten Tomatoes scores, it's like higher than some of the movies in the Ghostbusters franchise. That you're going, it's better than the Afterlife. And that's shocking because everyone loves Ghostbusters Afterlife more than the 2016.
So the funny thing is, like, that one had high critic scores. Like, why did the critics not like this? But I agree with you. Usually that's the case, right? Woman director, female led. This was like just post or during Me Too, that whole thing. Like, we need to get more. So I'm not surprised with the audience score. I'm just surprised it's so far apart. You would think the critics would also give this an, you know, it would be 80% positive or something like that. Kind of weird. But it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter because we're going to give you our scores here. And of course, we're going to start off with the titular Angels. Of course, they're played by Naomi Scott, Kristen Stewart, and I forget the other girl's name, something Balinska. They're the, I've never seen her in anything else besides this movie.
So, she was in the Resident Evil TV show.
Okay.
The new one.
Didn't watch that show, but cool. Mm. So she's in something else. So please take it away. You get to take go first with the Angel.
Okay. So, oh man, I gave it a 2. Mm. I'm not holding back. I'm going to be really honest with this movie. Kristen Stewart is the best one out of all three of them. I'm going to be 100% dead on. I think she's gorgeous. I always thought she was a gorgeous female. I think she's gorgeous. I think as an actress, she is way better than the other two. The problem is that when you come off of a Charlie's Angels movie with the original three, right? Which is the Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, and Lucy Liu. Mm-hmm. They had their style of movie. We're going to talk about it when we review it. But all I'm going to say is they had a unique way of telling that story and the way they used those angels. This Angels was not even believable for me, to be honest with you. They look kind of super young. They look like teenagers compared to the Charlie's Angels from the 70s. I hope it's the 70s. From the 70s. And then if you look at the Charlie's Angels from the 2000s, which with Drew Barrymore, they're like the youngest cast. They look young. And I was like, to me, it wasn't as appealing much because I think because the actresses didn't have good chemistry. It didn't work well. And I think a lot of things in the storyline hurt their presence on screen and the message that they were trying to tell. Now, in terms of the Angels, how did they do? Kristen Stewart, the best one. She knows how to fight. She looked great. There was gorgeous scenes with her interacting with the guy. So I was like, wow, she looked seductive. I was like, cool. Naomi Scott, I did not like her character. She was a buffoon. She can't fight. And I don't remember any of the Charlie's Angels being a buffoon. Like, being one of those, like, out of the three, there was one that's the dumbass, pretty much, if you understand what I mean. I'm not calling her a dumbass, but yeah. What I'm trying to say is, like, the character is just dumb, a buffoon. Like, and she's a genius.
Drew Barrymore. She was like a goof. She was
but she could fight.
Yeah, but she was like, yeah, but she also was an angel the whole movie. Remember, Naomi Scott was a scientist that is like got involved with this.
Yeah, so but what I mean, trained. Yeah, but she was a rebel though, Drew Barrymore.
Yeah,
so she was a fighter. She was
an airheaded character.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. She didn't even fight. She was just like, oh my God, how do I do this? And then she fought with the mouse and the computer in one scene. And I was just like, this is not even funny or nothing at all. And then you got the other one, which to me, she's a horrible actress. She was horrible in Resident Evil. And in this one, I didn't even like her at all. And I was just like, why these three? Like, I was trying to look for the what in the casting did they go, this is the three Charlie's Angels that's going to kick off a franchise. And I didn't see it. And that's why I gave it a two. Throughout the whole movie, I'm going, Kristen Stewart is the best one with her quirkiness, which I thought it was hilarious throughout the whole movie. The other two did not fit the Charlie's Angels bill for me. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, so just as far as the age goes, I know for a fact Kristen Stewart's character is 28 years old in the movie because when she has that X-ray glasses thing, it shows her mugshot and it says she was born in 1990, so that would make her 28. So okay. They are like near 30. There's not, but I get what you're saying. They do look young. Hey, that's not their fault that they got good genes, I guess. Yeah. I'm going to be a little opposite of you, and this is surprising to me because I didn't like this movie when I first watched it, but I thought they were good. I agree with you. Kristen Stewart is the best one. And she's a great actress, but she's always mopey in all her movies. She's like a mopey, moody kind of dramatic actress. So it was actually, because of that, it was like refreshing to see her do something lighthearted. She's smiling. She's having fun. She's getting to do some jokes, you know, do some humor. And I thought she was the best one by far. 100% hands down agree with you. Where I disagree is I thought her name is Ella Balinska. I thought she was good too. Now, I didn't see Resident Evil, but I like that character. She is the one that is, they each had their traits, right? Kristen Stewart, goofy, rebel. She's like almost like the Drew Barrymore character. Mm-hmm. Rebel, was rich. You know, grew up rich, but didn't want it, went out, got in trouble, did crime. So rough around the edges, but humorous, right? And then you have the other one who's the highly trained. She came from MI6, a secret agent or whatever, pretty much the CIA of England. So she's highly trained, likes the fighting, the physical stuff and all that. Can't flirt because that's the whole running joke with the fake Mark Ruffalo from Black Adam. And she like likes him and whatever. It's goofy. Okay, fine. She's not amazing, but I thought she was okay. Now, Naomi Scott, I just think, you know, she's an untrained scientist. I agree with you. I don't think they should have made her so goofy. If you're a scientist, first of all, you're very smart. You invented this product, right? This thing that has like all this technology and all this source of power and all this. She's a little too clumsy and clueless. Like, she's not able to put things together quick enough that I think a super smart person would. I'm okay with the fighting because she's untrained. She's basically a civilian at this point. She's not, never military, never nothing. So I don't care about that as much. But it she's the weakest, I think. Gorgeous actress, too. I love her. I think she's talented. I don't know. I said all this great stuff. I'm only 1 point higher. I gave him a three. But I thought they were okay. But I didn't have the same issues, necessarily. Here or there, I did. But 3 for me, 2 for you. Okay. Main villain, who turns out to be Patrick Stewart, is the main villain. A former Bosley.
A 1. Look. Patrick Stewart gets a 1. Ooh, I like okay. Patrick Stewart. I think he's a great Professor X. I mean, it took forever to get him as Mr. Professor X into the X-Men universe. But great Professor X, my man Captain Picard. We all know his history resume on his filmography. I never seen him as a villain. Besides him being a Borg in Next Generation, when they took him and made him into a robot. Other than that, I have never seen him as a villain in an action movie. I know, I mean, you guys could drop it in the comments and be like, hey, you're wrong. This is whatever. And I'll say, fine. You know what? Cool. But to me, this is the first villain movie. And it did not work for me. I didn't like it. I felt like, you know how you said Hugh McGregor was your Obi-Wan Kenobi? So when you see him villain, you're like, oh. Yeah, my only problem is that with Patrick Stewart, he's at an older age that it didn't feel believable. And I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it just felt weird. Like the scenes that he fought Elizabeth Banks, you saw it was cut and it was someone else body doubling. And I was just like, what is, like, I didn't not work for me. Like this whole evilness that came from him, this Bogsley. Well, first of all, that's so stupid. There's 30,000 Bogsleys in this Charlie's Angels thing, which that was another dumbass thing.
It's a rank. Yeah.
But look, in all, was he a mastermind? No, because he didn't do nothing that's a mastermind. He did everything that's generic in every other Charlie's Angels TV show or movie. He betrayed them. Big freaking whoop. He didn't do nothing. To be honest with you, he didn't do absolutely nothing. He was just there to get paid. That's what I saw. He was just horrible. And I can't believe he really did this movie. So I give him a one.
Wow.
I'll
save you the comments trip. If you want to see Patrick Stewart play an amazing villain, watch a little movie called Green Room. He is fantastic in it, first of all. Like, the performance is great, and he's evil. But he plays like this neo-Nazi guy in the South. Like, he's fantastic. It's not really an action movie, but it's got some action. It's kind of a thriller. He's amazing in it. So he can do villain now. Patrick Stewart. Okay, he plays A. Bosley, one of them. A. Bosley, there's three that they show here, right? You got Jaimin Hunsu, just great all the time, right? You got Elizabeth Banks. She's a Bosley, a woman Bosley. And then you have Patrick Stewart. And he is basically forced to retire from the agency because he's old, right? Like, you gotta go retire. He feels betrayed. He feels like, man, I can't believe they're making me do this. I'm going to take all my knowledge and I'm going to form an evil, like, agency or whatever, right? Yeah, he hires the assassin who never talks, and he's trying to get this thing, and they're trying to get the thing, right? I thought he was okay. I love Patrick Stewart. You're right. I think he's a great actor. I like him all the time. He was okay in this. He's definitely a paycheck. This is a paycheck movie. He showed up. He's like, y'all pay me a check, I'll do it. But he didn't phone it in, per se. Like, he still does the performance. It's okay. It's very generic. You're right. I gave him a 2. Yeah, okay, he's not going to fight with anybody because he's, like, 85 years old. So that's, he throws, like, one punch, really, and he gets, like, slammed. Oh, well, I'll save that part first. I hated that whole scene, but I'll save that for another category. But I gave him a 2. It's not very good. Very regular. Okay, action.
This is where I say It was weird, the action here. Well, first of all, the cut and pace in the beginning fight sequence was so horrible. It cut and paced so fast between Kristen Stewart's character and the other character, Ella, whatever her name is.
Yeah.
It cut super fast. Like, when she came in through that door and she was fighting the Chinese dude, it cut back and forth, like, super fast. And I was like, there was 5 cuts within, like, a millisecond. And I was just like, what? Like, what action scene? Like, how can you shoot a scene like this that is super fast between two characters? Yeah, look, the action was okay. It was decent. I enjoyed the ones with Kristen Stewart. The other girl held her ground when she fought the other dude. I thought she was really good at the action sequences. There was not much, to be really honest with you, in terms of action. I mean, even when she took the umbrella and zip line from the horse track.
The derby, the race, the horse race.
Yeah, I was just like, okay. I like the horseback when she ran and threw herself off and threw the thing at the perfect time. I was like, all right. I was like, it's cute. Charlie's Angels type of movie. Honestly, I give it a 3. It was a good action. Nothing crazy, nothing over the top.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the action was actually surprisingly good. That first fight it's unmemorable. Like, it's okay. Kristen Stewart flipping around in the curtains and then they come in shooting and whatever. But I do like the fight scene in the cafe, and then it turns into a car chase with a little mini machine gun thing. I thought that was really well executed. You could always see what's going on. Kristen Stewart on a motorcycle, them in the car, part where he turns the car, she hangs out and shoots. Like, it was good. I liked it. I'm surprised. Like, I know Elizabeth Banks had directed something else. I want to say a Pitch Perfect movie.
See, part 2.
Yeah. So, but that's not an action film. So for this being, like, kind of her first action film, and I know second unit director probably helped a lot, it doesn't matter. It was better than I thought. So I thought that chase scene was really good. I also liked the scene in the factory, that whole fight scene. Like, Naomi Scott, okay, hers is goofy fighting, but I actually liked the other two. I like when the girl slides down the thing and she's, like, shooting the gun while sliding down the thing. And I like the camera work. I thought it was solid. The horseback scene is fun. The end action is not that great. I do like when she fights that guy. I thought it was good. She looks like she's legitimately holding her own. He falls off and gets that spike through him. To me, this is probably the best thing in the whole movie, surprisingly, is the action scenes. I thought they were well executed, well shot. I gave it a 4. I didn't really have an issue with it, besides the opening scene, which is unmemorable. I thought the rest were good, and they were, you know what I like? I like a good action scene that's not 2 minutes long. Like, they're 6-7 minute action set pieces, which I'm a fan of a good set piece. So yeah, there's only three, you know, of those, but I thought they were well done and I had a good time with the action. Not a good time with a lot of other stuff. So what do you go? Let's go to you for storyline.
Storyline two. The storyline was pretty weak. It was like a stupid little energy, another energy gadget that, again, she's a scientist on it. And she notices that you could take a code and then you could turn it into a bomb. Big whoopity-doo. I mean, that's pretty much what
EMP,
I got from it.
Yeah, a human EMP.
Yeah, pretty much. So they were going to sell this everywhere and anyone could turn it into bombs. And she was like, no. And then Charlie's Angels came and rescued her and she's now a part of the group. So it didn't do nothing for me. I was just like, this was kind of weak. It should have been a stronger storyline. To be honest with you, they could have did something way better to capture, you know, to hook you into the film. But I mean, there's not much I can say about it because it's actually a stupid storyline, to be honest with you. It's literally stupid. I thought it's not worse than The Battery from Night and Day with Tom Cruise. Remember that one? That was a stupid battery. So this can't get any worse with that. So I'll say a two. I gave it a two.
Yeah. You know, this is a very, very, like, I hate movies where, so I thought of Night and Day too when you were talking, you know, with The Battery. But The Battery in that, at least in that movie, it felt like it was there so they could have this relationship action comedy with Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz, right? The difference is in this movie, they like really focus on this thing a lot, like all the time. I'm not crazy about the movies where it's just like, there's an object. Everyone wants the object. It's like, okay, obviously, if it was like a bomb, right? These guys are trying to get this bomb. These guys are trying to get this bomb. We can't let them get the bomb. It's too basic for me. And this thing doesn't make any sense because there's only six, right? There's only six of those devices. And when she uses the first one on that guy at the factory and he dies, remember, they don't take it because she's like, it's no good anymore. Once it gets used, we can't, you know, she just leaves it behind and says that they can't use it again. So if they only have six, what are they just going to use these six things? They can kill a couple people and then they run out. Why are you going to pay $80 billion for you to shoot them? You shoot them with a gun, you could kill like 12 people at one time. So I just think it was weird. It's also unclear of what it really does. They're like, it's the future. Why? What? It is an energy source. I don't like movies where things are energy sources or what. It's too basic. So you're right. The only thing I will say that I thought was cute was I do like that they tied it like to the other Charlie's Angels. Like this is a sequel. Like it has the photos with Cameron Diaz and Lucy Liu and Drew Barrymore. That was cool. And it has the old angels. One of them is like Charlie now. I'm one of the original Charlie's Angels from the show. That was like, those things are cute. Those are nice little nods. They gave it a two. It's not that good. It's pretty basic. I hated the out. Oh, this is where I'm going to add it in. I hated the end in the house when they get in the fight. And then all of a sudden, all the women are actually angels. And it's like, why do I care about these three if you have 9,000 other angels that all seem, they're probably better because nobody even knew they were angels and they got all those guys with the little Altoids thing. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Also, I have to point this out. This movie is, and it grossed me out watching the whole thing. I don't know why. This movie is obsessed with breath. Why is it obsessed with breath? First, the girl throws up. And they're like, oh, you stink. Like your breath stinks because you threw up. Then they go to the thing and the guy gives her the mint. He's like, this will help you with your bad breath. And I'm like, all right, there's two breath jokes. Then she picks up. And then the thing is a box of Altoids. And it's like, okay, we get it. We get it. And then at the end, there's more Altoids. And then at the very end, Kristen Stewart, she lands in place like, let me smell your breath. And I wanted to turn it off because I was like, this is so, why do they keep talking about this poor girl's breath? It's weird. I don't understand it. These are the things that I notice when I'm not really engaged with your story. I just notice all your weird breath jokes. Two. It's not, I won't give it a one because I've seen worse, but it ain't that good. All right, overall.
All right, well, look, overall, I enjoyed it for what it was. It's watchable crap. If I had to put it in a category, it is not guilty pleasure for me, but it's watchable crap. Would I watch this again? I don't know. Maybe if I want to, but I don't think I would. But it's really watchable crap. Again, Kristen Stewart is the only reason I will watch it again for. I think she was cool. Elizabeth Banks in her own movie. Now, this is where there's certain people, again, that has the talent to do the acting in front of the camera and the acting behind the camera. There's people called Stallone that could do it. There's people like Mel Gibson that could do it. Clint Eastwood could do it. You know, I bet there's female characters, directors, if I know which ones. But I feel like with Elizabeth Banks, I think she should have just stayed behind the camera and maybe the movie would have been better. I think the fact that she was in front of the camera and behind it, maybe to get more money. Maybe that's how it works. You get more royalty points in terms of how the film comes out. I really don't know. She's a great actress. I'm not saying she's horrible. Yeah,
I like her. But she's funny. And this role was like too serious.
It did not work for me. Yeah. I was just like, you're too serious in this movie. I remember her from Modern Family. She always makes me laugh in Modern Family. What I will say is, she had a quote about this movie. So I'm going to read the quote. And then you let me know what you think, okay? Because I felt like watching this movie, I'm like, I don't think she saw her product when it came out, okay? So this is from people can check it out, it's Variety. I hope I said it right.
Oh, Variety, yep.
Yeah, Variety. This came out September 27, 2022, okay? So it just came out. She says, looking back at the poor box office performance of her 2019 Charlie's Angels reboot, Elizabeth Banks has some regrets about the film's marketing. So this is her quote. She goes, I wish that the movie had not been presented as just for girls because I didn't make it for just girls, Banks told the New York Times. There was a disconnect on the marketing side of it for me. Then she also says, she goes, when women do things in Hollywood, it becomes this story. There was a story around Charlie's Angels that I was creating some feminist manifesto. I was just making an action movie. Now the Pitch Perfect 2 director added that she would have liked to have made Mission Impossible, but a woman aren't directing Mission Impossible. I was able to direct an action movie, frankly, because it starred women. I'm a female director, and that is the confine right now in Hollywood. Now, I don't know where she was coming with this, because it's time to hit this lady with some knowledge, okay? Let's try to hit that. I mean, she ain't going to listen to the podcast, but let me just tell people outright. There are female directors that do action movies and they're fucking amazing behind the camera for it. Now, they are Deborah Chow. She did The Mandalorian for Star Wars. Amazing action scenes if you watch the Star Wars Mandalorian. I don't know if she did big movie things. Catherine Bigelow did Point Break. Right there is an action movie. I bet there's other females too, but those are the two that pop into my head in terms of female directors in action movies. Now, for her to say something like that, I'm like, what? First of all, your marketing was all females. It was the movie itself was never going to get guys into the theater because the movie was portraying dudes like dumbasses. I mean, there's scenes in the movie that the angels were just pretty much the beginning of the movie. It was already taunting guys. Women can't do this.
Well, all the villains in the movie are men. There's not a single bad woman in the movie.
And that was the same problem with the Ghostbusters from 2016, making the men stupid to make the females superior. And it's like, you don't have to tell a story that way. That's why the 2000 and whatever Charlie's Angels, those movies were great because guess what? There was no agenda. It was just a story being told and people enjoyed it. This is where this movie flopped for me in the aspect of what were you trying to get out of this? If it was a Charlie's Angels franchise, great. But throughout the whole movie, you're bashing men. When you came out 2019, you destroyed men in your interview. You were like, this is not a man movie. This is a female movie. If it flops, it's because the guys didn't go see it. So to me, I don't know. I want to hear what you think about her after 3 years later when talking about her movie. What do you think?
I actually like the quote. I like the quote. That's brave of her to do because most women won't say any of what she said, to be honest. They're not going to say, oh, I wanted to make a movie for everybody. I didn't want to make just a movie for girls. Because the truth be told, most of these movies nowadays, they are geared or designed for specific audiences, right? And then they hope it crosses over. So I remember there was some stuff when it came out. I wonder how much pressure there was on her from the studio to be like, listen, promote it this way. You got to remember the time this was made. While I agree with you, like Catherine Bigelow, she's made some great, you know, action movies. And they were all pre-Me Too movement, that's one thing. Since then, think about, let's say from 2018 to now, what woman has directed a big budget action movie? None. Her, this movie, you know what I mean? So I agree. I think and that's not to say they're not talented. They should get a shot at it. That I agree with. Yeah, I like the quote. I like the quote. Now, how much is true, how much isn't, that I can't say. But if the fact of the matter is, I do remember the marketing being very female-centric, being very, you know, focused on girl power, which I don't have a problem with. But if it's not what she was going for, then yeah, they failed her in the marketing department. But if she was part of it and is just now changing her tune, that's a different story. So but, I like the quote if it's true, but I don't know how true it is.
Right, but if you're a director, you have to oversee the marketing because it's your movie.
Not really.
So you can't tell. I mean, it's still your
You don't cut the trailer. Film, yeah, but director. Though. Yeah, but directors don't cut the trailer. Usually directors
don't.
And they're not in charge of the marketing. That's all done by the studio. So once the director finishes the movie and cuts it and sends the final cut, it's out of their hands at that point. So to that regard, she probably didn't have much of a say, and she's not that big of a name. Let's be honest. She directed Pitch Perfect 2. What's she going to do? Tell Sony, hey, I don't want you to do. They're being like, shut up. You know, like just you did the movie. You're done.
I guess, but I mean, females, I mean, they did, I mean, Wonder Woman was Patty Jenkins, and that's a big action movie.
Okay, that's a good one, yeah. But and it's how the same
about
thing.
Eternals? That was a female also, isn't it?
Yeah, Chloe Zhao. Those are machines, right? Like DC, Marvel, those are machines. They directed them, but like, you know, they're director by studio. I'm not arguing. I think it's a valid conversation, and it's interesting. But I don't know how true the quote, you know, I don't know. She could say all that now because it flopped. That. You know, if it did well, would she have said this? I don't know.
I totally understand. I'm just saying I don't care about the whole thing. My thing is the whole female directing in Hollywood not doing action movies. Because I have a feeling if we pull up females in action movie, I guarantee you there's movies that we never even heard of have pure action with female directors.
Yeah, but I think she's meaning like big budget. Right. There are no women directed a Bond movie. No woman's directed a Mission Impossible movie. No woman's directing a Fast and Furious movie. No woman's. So to that, she's right. But why not make your own then? Make your own. Say, hey, I need like $10 million to make this, like Steven Soderbergh Haywire. I need a little budget. I want to film an action movie. It could happen. There, you know, if you want to swing in for the fences every time, maybe not. Okay, what was your overall score?
It was a three. I mean, overall is a three. Look, I totally understand what you're saying, but you're absolutely right. If she would have did this with the Charlie's Angels and wanted to do a Mission Impossible, she could have did it, but I think there's some poor choices around the script and everything. But other than that, look, I gave it a three. It's watchable crap.
Yeah, I've landed on a three. But it's a three, like, I'm never going to watch this movie again. Look, the fact of the matter is, I didn't watch it since the theater, and I only watched it because we're reviewing it. I can't think of a time where I'm going to be like, I want to watch the 2018 Charlie's Angels. I can't. Like, I didn't like anything in it enough to do that, but I also didn't hate anything in it so much that I'm going to give it a two or anything like that. Like, it's a competently made female action movie, but the storyline's pretty crap. The villain's weak. That's what, you know, unless I want to see Kristen Stewart smile for once in her life, then I'll pop this in. Other than that, I don't really have much, but I agree. It's not horrible. I'll give it a three.
It's not memorable.
Not at all. I barely remembered anything that happened in this when I was watching.
Yeah. Watchable crap is a wrong word to say. I think it's not memorable. The movie's not memorable.
Because watchable crap means I want to watch that again at some point.
Okay, I'm not watching this shit either. But it's basically, it's a not memorable movie for you to replay it. Again, replay value. Does this have it?
Absolutely fire. Not. So it's right in the middle.
Well, to me, replay value, I would give this a one. It's not as strong in a replay value. Total points is a 11.
11. Okay. Mine is a 13 out of a 25. Oh, we were close. We're not that far apart. We're leaning towards the critics, though, here. We're more in the 52% camp than in the 78%. Who really love this movie. Oh, again, I don't know any of them. I haven't met anyone who's like, oh, I love Charlie's Angels 2019. That's my jam. I don't know any of them. Not one. So, okay. That being said, next episode, Resident Evil Apocalypse, the blue one. We're going to be covering a little bit of that, seeing if it holds up or if we hate it now. And then the final in our female-led action movies, this one I'm looking forward to. I have not seen this in a really long time, and I think you said you've never seen it. Doing a little bit of Zoe Saldana, Colombiana. Never seen it? Okay, Colombiana, little Zoe Saldana spy action thriller. So we'll see how that goes. This is another one. I remember really liking it. I just haven't rewatched it. So we'll see how that goes. But those are our next two.
Yeah, guys, if you want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Netflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Netflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to our official website at www.geeksandflicks.com. If you guys want to join the Patreon, watch the filming of your favorite podcast filmed behind the scenes. You have the options there, or, of course, you support the channel. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.